Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Marnie Svedberg, and I welcome you to Marnie and Friends, a place where leaders share practical, helpful, and encouraging ways to get anything important done faster, better, and smarter. Right now, I encourage you to sit back, buckle up, and join us for fun, laughter, practical help, and clear thinking, the kind of discussion that focuses our attention off of the fluff and onto the most important stuff in life. Again, welcome to Marnie's Friends. Let's get going.
Well, hi, everybody, and welcome to an Event Planners training edition of Marnie's Friends. Our topic today is Women's Retreats, and our guest is Becky Sachs. She's one of our speakers over at womenspeakers.com. Her website is pressonministries.com, and if you want to just put a dash in between those words, press-on-ministries.com, you'll be able to find her and her partner in speaking and in ministry, Karen Avery, over there at press-on-ministries.com. And she is here today to share with us some of her favorite strategies for hosting and planning stellar retreats. Becky, welcome to you.
Thanks, Marnie. Hi, it's so good to be with you this afternoon. Looking forward to the hour.
Yes, me too. And this is a topic I had somebody just tell me just a bit ago. You haven't been the one for event planners for a while, and we haven't. We've been focusing on so many other things and excited to come back around and talk about event planning, especially today, retreat planning. And maybe, Becky, why don't you start by telling us when you fell in love with retreats for women and why?
Oh, wow. Okay. Back in 1993, I actually just got out of the Marine Corps. I was a Marine musician there, and came home to New York and was invited to a women's retreat that was sponsored by my church. And it was the first women's retreat I had ever been to, and this was the spring of 1994. And from that first retreat, I don't know how it happened, but from that very first retreat, they had me doing stuff for them. And the following year, they asked me to be on the committee, and I think by 1996, I took over and co-led that committee, and since 1996 have been leading these committees that do these retreats every year for women's groups. And I just love getting involved with it. I love women, and I love being able to be involved in ministry for women, where women can get together and support each other and encourage one another and just get into the Word and have time away from their families. And it's such a special time when women get together, especially women who really love the Lord. And so ever since then, it's just been, I guess, what I do is planning these retreats, and I love it. I love it, and I look forward to it every year. It's like almost like the highlight of our year. Is our retreat. So,
yeah. I remember one time going to a conference and asking the conference leader, you know, why is it that I seem to get so much out of a conference compared to like going to church? I feel like I can just get so much more here. And he said, well, there's several reasons, but one of the reasons is because when the speaker on a Sunday morning, the pastor starts out and he has to give kind of the introduction, and then he can get to the meat, and then he has to give a conclusion. Whereas when you're at a retreat or a conference, the speaker starts out with the introduction, and then they give you meat, 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 and then a conclusion. And you can really go a lot deeper, a lot faster in this environment. Plus, then the additional benefit of not having the distractions of home for a whole week in between things takes the learning down deeper so much faster. So I, too, just... I love retreats for the fellowship aspect of them, but I also love retreats for the spiritual growth aspect of them. The gals just grow so much, and I think that's why I just am so happy that your first point that you bring out for planning a wonderful event, a wonderful retreat, is prayer. And by the way, listeners, if you haven't already done so, you can download the notes that Becky put together for you. You can just download them over at marniesfriends.com or in the leadershipattitudes.com site so that you can follow along with us here. But let's talk about the importance of prayer. Why has to that be number one?
Well, you know, first of all, if you're planning Christian women's retreats, your whole goal for these retreats is to get these women to focus on God for a period of time without the distractions of everyday life. And so if you're not bringing yourself before the Lord in your retreat planning, then you're kind of just defeating the purpose of why you're getting together. And so for me, bathing every aspect of your retreat in prayer from the very first stages of planning till after it's over, your committee, your planning committee really has to be praying. You need to invite God in on the process. And it's so important that we recognize that we're servants doing God's work, not the other way around. We're not having God come in on what we're doing. We're actually coming in and participating on what God wants to do in the lives of those women for that weekend. And so we really take prayer seriously. Our church committee, we have every woman who plans to attend our retreat, we have them, you know, down written, their names down written in a file, phone numbers and addresses. But what we do is our committee, we break up those names of those women. So maybe I'll have, you know, 10 or 12 women to pray for over the course of a couple of months, and each other committee member will have the same. And we bathe those women in prayer. They don't even know that we're praying for them beforehand, but it's just so important to be praying for them and to be praying that God shows you what you want in regards to your speakers and how things will flow on the weekend and what songs to come in and just every little aspect, even down to just the smallest little detail is so important. And it's so interesting when you're planning these things to just see how God just kind of weeds certain things out and just leaves certain things on the table that you just come to the point where you realize, all right, this must be from the Lord. He must have a reason for us to want to do this particular thing at the retreat. And just being open to what he has for us on that weekend and giving it over to him, really.
Yeah. And so many times, too, I think the other thing for prayer, there's so many things. Everything starts with prayer. But the other thing is, too, once you have bathed it in prayer to the point where you know that it's God's event, not your event, then no matter how things actually go down, even if there is a hiccup, even if there is a, you know, an emotional meltdown by somebody or, you know, whatever happens, you know that God is in control, and you're able, because you've been patterning the whole thing through prayer from the beginning, you're able to walk through everything that happens in prayer, and that just releases the power of all of heaven on your behalf as you're going through the event, too, not even to mention the benefit that your attendees have just as a planner.
That's right, yeah.
Beneficial.
Yeah, I mean, we really do take that so seriously. Because it's not, some people who plan retreats may look at it as just event planning. And retreats are not really about event planning, although some things may seem similar. Because you do want to have a great weekend all around. And so people who have a background in event planning will be good with retreat planning. But the difference with Christian retreats is it's really just, it's all about God and what he has for us. And what he wants to say to us in his word during that time. And so we even, on our retreats, we don't stop it just in the planning process. When we're on the retreats, before each speaking session, we will take the speaker. We actually meet up at this place in the Adirondacks in upstate New York. And we are lucky to have a great meeting room that has kind of like a little tiny closet room off to the side, and we call it our prayer closet. So we'll grab our speaker, and before each session, our committee will grab the speaker. We'll go in there, and we'll pray with her, and it's always such a special time. And things that come up through the course of the weekend, maybe there's some issues going on with a woman, or she's having difficulty in her marriage, or with a child, we'll bring that before the Lord at that time, too. And the prayer continues throughout the course of the weekend, and it makes such a difference in how the weekend is played out.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I just want to encourage you, if you are a planner who hasn't really thought much about adding an intense prayer aspect to your planning, do so. And if you are a speaker who goes to events and you arrive, and, you know, this has definitely happened to me, where there's not been a lot of prayer cover before you get there, mm-hmm. then you know what? It's a good thing you've been praying before you left. so that you're covered and you want to, if you're a speaker and you're not used to praying before you go, my goodness, add that to your habit, make it a habit to be covering these things in prayer. I like what you said about the list of names, and for those of you listening who maybe are listening in from around the world, even I have a whole list of all of the 20,000 names, it's over 20,000 names in Marnie.com right now, and I just pray for you all by first name. I just pray for you all by first name, and I don't get to do it every week or every month even, but I do. I prayer is huge, and if we minimize its value, then we've lost most of the value of what we're doing, even though we can still have a great time. Prayer is the foundation that it needs to be built on. Well, we only have an hour, and we've got a lot more to cover here, but we cannot, I know, Becky, you agree with me, we cannot stress enough how prayer needs to be the foundation of the retreat.
It definitely does. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's go ahead then on that foundation. Let's go ahead and build up some bricks for people so they can know how to actually go about planning a wonderful retreat for women. And I think let's start with the committee then.
Okay. Well, one of the things, years ago when I first got involved in 1994 with the retreat planning, our committee was a group of 12 women, and they came from such varied backgrounds, different churches, different talents and abilities, and it was great to have that many hands and that were willing to work and do what was necessary to really plan and execute a successful retreat. Over the years, we've kind of somehow, through church splits that happened through the years and people kind of going on their own way, our committee now is a group of 6 women. And I've found over the past, maybe the past 8 years, we've been limited to about 6 women. But I found that we're more effective in the smaller numbers than we were in the larger numbers, because you're more likely to have same-mindedness in a smaller group of women than you are in a larger group. And so that's my first point with finding your committee, is that it's so important to have a committee that's made up of women who are like-minded, who are out to glorify God, who are women who have a vision but not an agenda. So many times you can come across committees where certain people just have certain things they want to be able to do, because for one reason or another it's their thing and that's what they want to bring to the retreat, and that sometimes it becomes an agenda and not really so much a vision. And so it's important for women to have a willingness to work together with an attitude of grace and selflessness and love. And you know, Christ for us is the model of the retreat committee, and we try to extend grace to one another and really just come with that idea in mind that we want to have the mind of Christ and be like-minded, and we're there to carry out God's plan for the weekend, not really our own plans. And sometimes we have to lay things aside and say, all right, I really wanted to do this, but it may not be for this year. It may be for another time. And just having women who are willing to do that, to see the bigger picture and what God may have for the women who are coming to your retreat, that's the kind of woman you want to seek out to be on your committee, because that's the kind of woman who's always going to bow to the Lord's will and sacrifice her own for the good of the women who come.
Yeah. One of the things I'd encourage you to do, too, and just when you can, not necessarily that you have to do it before you're planning your first retreat or anything, but find out, you know, everybody's spiritual gifts, and try to plug them in where it makes sense for them to be plugged in. If you have the gal who's running, let's say, all the registration stuff, if she's a real free spirit and real laid back and, you know, flies by the seat of her pants, it's going to be a real disaster. Depending on how many gals you have coming, it can be a really big disaster. Whereas if you have someone who has the gift of organization, you know, that's going to be so much better. And the fun lover is the one that you'd put in charge of the games or the, you know, maybe a humorous skit or something. So you want to make sure to just be matching as best as you can with God's assistant, matching the right person with the right responsibilities.
That's such a great point. You know, for our committee, we started doing this in the late 90s, is we started assigning clear roles and responsibilities. When I first joined our group of 12 committee, no one really had specific roles or responsibilities. It just kind of was assigned on the fly. And now with our smaller group, you have to assign clear roles and responsibilities early on. And what we do exactly what you say. We delegate those roles and responsibilities according to each person's strengths and their talents and their abilities and the things that they like to do. There's so many different aspects of being involved in a committee. I have, if your listeners are interested, I have these things that are broken down. They can email me, and I can send them to them for free. They're just the retreat committee's roles and responsibilities that are broken down. So you would see what the roles are for a director. You know, the director is the person who holds and runs meetings as needed. They communicate across the committee. They make sure that kind of everyone's doing their job. They arrange things with the speaker, you know, flight times, airport pickup. They make sure that the theme and the session topics are all interwoven. And they're kind of responsible for basically making sure everyone does their job. We have a specific person who does our publicity. They're the person that publicizes the retreat by email, Facebook, in church bulletin boards, getting those informations out to the other churches. Then we have the registrar, which is a job I would never want to do because that requires number crunching and who gave their deposit and who owes this much money and spreadsheets. And a lot of times that person, I always feel bad for that person on our retreat. She's never getting to relax on the weekend because people are always paying her last minute. So she's always tracking people down for final payments and such. And then we have a section that's dedicated to hospitality, women who organize and sign up, have people sign up for bringing food and refreshments and maintaining that refreshment table during the weekend and making sure there's tea and coffee available. They're the people who do the free time activities and even make gifts. And, you know, we'll get to this later on, so I don't want to jump ahead, but, you know, they're the persons who make sure there's very welcoming things that are there when the women arrive at the retreat location. And those are the people who have to arrive to the retreat hours earlier than everyone else because they're there setting up, they're decorating. You have a worship leader, you should have a worship leader. And the MC really is probably what I think is the most important role for a retreat because that's your official voice of the committee to the women. They're the ones who everyone goes to for questions because they're the face of the people who are in charge. They welcome, they make announcements, they're introducing the speaker, they open and close sessions in prayer. And this should always be assigned to a role, to a woman who is always positive because you don't want someone, sometimes you may get some people who are talking in your retreats who want to share something and it may go on a little too long. And you want that person who has the perfect blend of being positive and has great tact to be able to follow that up. And so, you know, the MC role is very important. And then, of course, if you're a person like me who does worship leading, you want to have a strong audio-visual person who can control your sound equipment for the speaker, for the music times, the musicians, who can control the DVDs if you have them, and who can communicate to those people who know all of, there is to know about that equipment, you know, especially if it's not your own equipment. A lot of times we have our retreats at this place up in the Adirondacks, and they supply all the equipment that's there. So sometimes there may be things that we don't know about it, and we'll have to call in somebody and help us out. But you want to have all of those roles clearly assigned before you go. So when everyone gets to the retreat location, they kind of hit the ground running and know what they're supposed to do. It's really important to break up those responsibilities according to what each person is capable of doing.
Yeah. Now, for listeners, you can go to Becky's website, press-on-ministries.com, and there's her contact information over there at press-on-ministries, and just a dash between the words, press-on-ministries.com. Okay, we're gonna go ahead and move forward. The third thing we want to talk about is a speaker, and I know you know that this is a big topic for me. But when you guys are selecting a speaker, what are some of the critical things that are forefront on your mind?
Well, the same thing with what we do when we look for a committee. We're looking for a speaker who's like-minded. It's so important for us because our retreat ministry falls under the ministry of a larger church. It's really important for our committee to get a statement of faith from our speaker and to be able to compare that statement of faith against our church's statement of faith. And any discrepancies could potentially be discussed. And sometimes we've had speakers who come from different backgrounds, and where things differ, we just ask them not to to really go into that area. And usually it's never really a problem. So for us, it's just finding that speaker that has like-mindedness with the group. There's so many different types of churches, and you don't want to bring in a very conservative speaker to a group that's very charismatic, and vice versa. Sometimes it just doesn't play out so well. The other thing with the speaker is just having consistent and clear communication with the speaker in the months preceding the retreat. It's really key to ensuring a thoughtful and cohesive weekend. I'm in the process right now for the retreat that's coming up in April and getting the final main points and summaries of each of the sessions so I can match the topic of each session, the theme of each speaking session, to the worship music that will be played and also to the special music that will be sung following each speaker session. In my own thought about speakers, I've been to retreats where it's a larger church. You have maybe a church of 2,000 or 3,000, and they only want to bring in speakers with of a certain caliber or speakers with a well-known name. But I've found over the past couple of years that I've been doing this is some of our best speakers that we've ever had have been missionaries because they're living by faith and relying on God and bringing the message of the gospel to people every day. And oftentimes they have incredible biblical insight and powerful testimonies. And so I would just encourage retreat planners to not be discouraged if they can't find a speaker who is well-known, who's written a book, because there's speakers all around you who can have a powerful message. And it's just a matter of finding them and, looking into who your church's missionaries are or who's in your own neighborhood that's kind of doing these on a smaller scale and giving them the opportunity to grow in this way.
That is really, Becky, that's really my passion at womenspeakers.com. There are speakers bureaus, but then, how do we find the rest of the gals that are just right next door who really have a passion to share a story? So if you're listening, you aren't familiar with womenspeakers.com, go over there. But also, I wanted to mention, too, in finding a speaker, there's like two ways to approach it. You can find your speaker first and let her direct, like, the theme, the topic, or at least, the breakout sessions or the different keynotes she'll be giving. Or you can select that and then find the speaker that can speak to the topic that God put on your heart. And either of those ways is just equally as viable, and God certainly works through either of those ways. So it's fun to hear you talk about finding missionaries. So we just have that happening actually this spring with us. We have one of our missionaries back in the country right at the time of our mother-daughter tea, and we're very excited to have her this year. So
that's really neat. Yeah, and you will find speakers who they're just starting out, and so they need to stick with the things that they're used to talking about. And it's, just a matter of being flexible and saying, well, we can work with that. And then there's other speakers who you can give them a topic and they make it work for you. And, it's six in one, half dozen the other, and they both can turn out to be fabulous in their presentation of what they have to say.
Yep. Well, let's move along to hospitality.
Okay. Well, hospitality is everything that you would do when someone comes to your house to make them feel welcome. We do that for the women who come on our retreats. And the things, I'll just kind of give a little list of the things that we do in regards to hospitality. The first thing that we do is we have a welcome letter in each of the rooms. And that welcome letter includes information about our speaker. It also includes information about the committee and the people that are on the committee for them to contact during the weekend if they need anything. It includes information on where they'll be eating and where the meeting room is. On the back of those welcome letters is usually a map of the location where we're at so women know where to go. And it's women love getting to their room and finding that someone's been in there and kind of prepared for them. We do candies on the pillows. Sometimes we've done a little basket of fruit and candies and nuts that are waiting in each of the rooms for the women. And that can kind of, you know, you want to, if you have, you know, 300 people coming, you may not be able to do baskets, but if you have about 100 women, you could probably work that out. So those things can change according to the number of women you have. But having simple things like making sure you have name tags for each of the women that are there and ready to go. We always have our name tags pre-made. So when the women arrive, they just pick their name tag up. It's there. And they kind of feel like, oh, they were expecting me. And it's the difference between coming and writing your own name tag and coming and finding a name tag written for you may seem like no big deal, but it one does make you feel a little bit more welcomed than the other. We have journals on a welcoming table. So we get these every year. We go to the dollar store and we get these fantastic journals, and they're only a dollar. And what we do is we tape our schedule on the inside cover of those journals. And the women love them because they're beautiful, especially this time of year. You can get really pretty ones that are decorated for spring. And the women love picking out, you know, we get a variety, and they love to be able to pick out the color that suits their personality. You can also use those journals with the different colors and I can't think of the word, but with, you know, different colors, and you can use the different colors to segregate them into groups later on. So all the women with the blue journals will be in this small group, and all the women in the red journals will be in this small group. And it's a great way to kind of do that without people knowing. Let's see, what else? We always have a refreshment table waiting for the women. We always have a refreshment table actually in our meeting room and at the back, so they can go back at any time and refresh with tea or water. We do ice-breaking games on the first night so women from different churches can get to know one another. I have a list of some really fun ice-breaking games that are neat, that allows people to really get to know each other in about 5 minutes. And you want to make sure that your committee women or that are there to welcome the women as they come. Or if you have a small committee, what we do is we'll get volunteers to be a welcoming committee, and there'll be groups of two that sit at a table. So when the women enter the building where the lobby is, there's a table there with our women waiting and the journals and the name tags, and they're always greeted with a smile or a hug, and we just assign those by the hour. So it changes. You serve an hour, and then somebody comes and relieves you, and then they serve another hour. And it's just really a nice touch to have women there greeting people as they arrive, especially when women are arriving over the course of a 4 or 5 hour time frame. It's nice to be able to have that that greeting committee there for the people who are coming. Trying to think if there's anything else I could say about the hospitality.
Well, that was awesome. That was so much good right there. And I know one of the things, before we move on to the countdown videos real quick here, one of the things that I've loved at retreats too is to have some kind of a little booklet that all of this is put into, and maybe that's even at the registration desk. And then on the pillow, just something as simple as Andy's Mint. You know, I mean, it doesn't have to be much. You know, you don't have to make it hard. Just whatever you have the manpower for and the finances for, it just little touches can make a big difference. All those tips. Well, talk to us about what you guys do with countdown videos, because we've seen some, all of us have seen some somewhere, you know, but what do you guys do?
Right. Well, before, I just wanted to say one more thing about hospitality that I think is such a huge, has had such a huge impact. And we have not done it every year, but when we break our committee members up and they pray for maybe 10 or 12 women, there have been a couple of retreats where we pray for those women, but then each committee member writes an individual personalized letter welcoming the woman that they've prayed for. So they've written, I've written 10 letters for the people that I've prayed for, and it's there in a sealed envelope just for them, letting them know that they've been prayed for. And I cannot tell you the response we've had when we've done that. The women are just so touched that we would write such a personal letter to them welcoming them. So I suggest that too, if you have the women and your number of women in your committee to be able to do such a thing. It really makes the women feel loved and cared for immediately. So that's the last thing I'll say about hospitality. As for the countdown videos, to be honest, we don't use them all the time, but we'll use them in strategic places. We'll use them on like the Friday night. And you can use countdown videos to build excitement before your first session begins. So you can, for the people who don't know what a countdown video is, it's just a video that can be played on a screen. If you've ever been to those conferences like Beth Moore or Priscilla Shire or Kay Arthur, they do these before their sessions start. So you, number one, what it does is it gives the women idea, okay, well, I have 10 minutes before things are going to start here, so I have time to run to the bathroom, or I have time to run back to my room, or time to get a coffee or whatever. But it also kind of builds excitement as the numbers get down to zero, because usually it comes with music and, you know, different photographs might be moving in the background. And you can get countdown videos at places like worshiphousemedia.com or faithclipart.com. Freecountdowns.net is another one, and motionworship.com is another. And they're just a really kind of creative way to build excitement or even set a reverent tone before a worship or speaking session begins. And it kind of gets the women in the right frame of mind to hear from God. Sometimes not, these are different than countdown videos, but we've opened up a retreat after the countdown video has finished and the women are all in their seats. We'll open up a retreat with a nice video that kind of reminds the women why we're here. And they can be, you know, the music that you use can in those videos can really set a tone for how you want the women to feel as the speaker comes up. And I don't know, people in your church may have the ability to make these sorts of videos instead of you having to purchase them. If they have certain software, they can make these videos themselves, much cheaper than it is to buy them. But like I said, you can get these things at worshiphousemedia.com. They make some really cool ones. But they're just kind of a neat way to kick things off. And we use them on Sunday mornings, too, where they're a little bit more quiet. The music's more reverent. Bible verses are flashing up on the screen as the numbers are counting down subtly in the corner. And it just kind of gets you in the right frame of mind for what's about to happen.
And, right, it eliminates the need to do a horse whistle or something.
That's right, because, you know, you don't want to have women up there in the microphone and, you know, yelling and screaming to get everyone to sit down. It kind of does it for you in a really nice, organized way. Yeah,
it does, and especially for those among your attendees who are organizational by nature, they will really love it.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, and then it'll help you to help the gals who don't pay any attention to the clock to actually come along, too. So
that's true. Well, when there's something up on the screen, you tend to want to look at it, you know, and you can't help but realize, oh, okay, I only got 3 minutes left, and I better, you know, get my seat. And it does help in that regard, yeah.
Well, Becky, you're a worship leader at heart, and talk to us a little bit about the music.
Well, for me, and some people may disagree, but I feel that music is the second most vital ingredient to a great weekend retreat, second only to the preaching of God's word. Now, for me, worship music, when it's led by a talented and able person, can really bring your retreat from good to great. For me, it's so important when you're leading worship to know your audience, to know the women that are there. What kind of churches are they coming from? What kind of songs are they used to singing? It's why, because we do get a good blend at our retreats from different churches. We have Lutheran churches, non-denominational churches, some others I don't even remember, but such a variety of different churches. So in our worship music, we will always have it blended. We'll always have a variety of the old contemporary worship songs with the new contemporary worship songs with the hymns. And you got to have a little bit of everything because, you know, you might have some women from your group who aren't familiar with the newest Chris Tomlin music or Tim Hughes. And so you need to make sure that you're using hymns too in your worship sessions, and it needs to be familiar to the majority of women who are there. And it's one of the reasons why I like to get the speaking session summaries from the speaker, because you can have your worship music try to complement what is about to be said. And while the women may not realize while you're singing these songs, that these songs are going to have something to do with what the speaker is going to talk about, they may come to realize it later on. And even if they don't realize it, it's kind of just like an undercurrent of making sure you have this theme set throughout your retreat. And that is probably the biggest point I would ever make to any retreat planner, is making sure that your theme is consistent throughout everything, throughout the music, throughout the speaking sessions, throughout the special music songs, throughout your decor or the scripture that you use or the headings that you use in your welcome letters. Just making sure that everything is consistent throughout. It really kind of drives home, and the women can't escape that theme if you're constantly reminding them of it in your speaking sessions and in the music. And special music is another way that music can be used to make a great retreat. We have a group of really great, talented women who have the ability to sing well, and so I'll always incorporate those women and assign them. Sometimes I assign them certain songs, and people may think it's a little controlling of me, but I know what the speaker is going to be talking about, and I know what song will match well with it. So I will ask them, can you sing, you know, such and such a song on after this particular session, because it'll really complement and bring to a close what she's going to say. And so that's where knowing what each speaking session covers comes in handy, is finding those appropriate and complementary songs to follow a speaking session really brings that message to a close in a powerful and memorable way.
Yeah. As a speaker, I am sometimes asked, you know, do you have any suggestions? And it's not that they're going to necessarily use the suggestions that I would give, but it helps them to get a feel for where I'm going with the talks, and it helps the planners to do that. And for those of you who are listening who maybe resonated with, yeah, I think they're controlling too to try to match all this up or whatever, I like to think of it like cooking. If you walk into a home or to a restaurant or something and you smell something wonderful, oh, it smells like chocolate chip cookies, or it smells like something in particular, and then they serve you something totally different, it just isn't the same experience as if you could have what you were smelling and what you were hungry for. And that's the same with music and the preaching of the word or the teaching session. If it's all consistent, then the woman just relaxes into it, and it just receives from God everything she has. She doesn't have to, you know, sort through her disappointment or her unmet expectations, even subconscious as they may be. So I love, love, love this advice, and I too just agree that every moment you spend working on worship music is a moment well spent, just to let that flow as freely as the Spirit could possibly flow through the musicians, through the singers, through the people who are gathered there. So absolutely. Yeah. Let's
That's
move
good.
On.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, when you make a great point about the smelling the food and then you get something different, you don't want to walk into a house, smell chocolate chip cookies, and then you're given tuna fish, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes when you have a song that follows a speaking session that doesn't go with it at all, people may just chalk it up to it's just that person just wanted to perform. And you don't want you don't want any of the worship music or the special music to ever be come across as just a simple performance or the opportunity to be up front. It's really about coming alongside the speaker and agreeing with her and her message by closing it out in a song that kind of wraps it all up. And so to me, it's like putting that bow on the package, you know.
Yeah, great way to describe it. Well, let's go ahead and talk about activities. These are so important. You can do all the praying you want, but if you just have, unless it's a prayer retreat, and that's what they're expecting, if you don't have any activities, you're going to have some pretty disappointed gals.
Yeah. Well, activities for us, how we use them, I mean, we try to provide our women with a good chunk of free time. Our retreats begin on Friday evenings, like, you know, around 6 or 7, and we close after lunch on Sunday. So we're together a good chunk of time. And so we try to give them that Saturday afternoon after lunch between dinner, and it turns out usually to be about a five-hour time frame where the women can do what they want, but we offer them the opportunities to engage in certain activities that we provide. And some of those activities that we've done over the course of the years have included things like just a simple nature walk, getting a group of people, we're going to meet at this certain time, or we're going to walk around and see what's, you know, walk around the site that we're having our retreat at, especially if you're in a place like where we are up in the Adirondacks. We've had groups that have come together to do stamping, scrapbooking. We've had exercise classes. We've had women who just want to meet for prayer, and they meet in a small room, and we've had retreats where we've had women who, if they have prayer requests, they can fill out a little piece of paper and put them in this little box. And during that prayer time, the women who want to get together and pray will pull out those prayer requests and actually pray for them right then and there over the course of that weekend. We've had times where maybe a particular woman who's in attendance has gone through a difficult time and God's brought her through triumphantly, and we ask her to share her testimony. And now all of these things are optional. Not everyone has to attend these things. And so a woman can share her testimony, how God brought her through. We've even gone as far as having like little spas where we'll get an esthetician. We have a woman who's attended our retreats, and she's an esthetician. And she comes and she's done the facial peels. She's done the mani-pedis. She's gotten women together to do short neck massages. And in the line, you know, the women line up around the corner for those, you know, neck massages and the mani-pedis. And it's always turned out to be a really great time of fellowship while they're doing this. Some people will just come in the room and they don't want the neck massage, but they kind of just fellowship while the other women are getting it. We've had interpretive movement classes, cake decorating classes, an art class where a particular project is made. We've had Mary Kay makeup sessions. We've had facials. Our retreats where we're at, we have a swimming pool, so the women have the opportunity to go swimming. We've organized scavenger hunts. We've organized digital camera scavenger hunts where you give them a list and they have to find something, but they have to take a picture of it and bring it back. Those are kind of a different slant on the scavenger hunt, which is really fun for those women who want to get out and kind of have a little bit of competition but fun at the same time. We've also offered movie times and fireside chats where they can meet the speaker on a more personal level. And it's kind of like a meet and greet sort of hour where they can come and meet the speaker. And, you know, a lot of women, I'm sure, Marnie, you've seen this, when you've gone places, everyone wants to speak to you on the break, you know. And sometimes as a speaker, you need your rest. So when a retreat committee schedules a certain time for the women to come and meet the speaker and be able to talk to her, it kind of is just a good way to schedule that time. And so after that time, she has that break and that downtime to kind of go back to her room and plan and pray and prepare. But, you know, activities, they can be provided in multiple time slots. So you can have, you know, maybe three or four time slots of activities with one or two activity per hour. So the women can choose, well, I'm going to do the facials, but later on I want to just kind of hang out and talk to my friends. So you can provide provide the activities, but not everyone's going to always participate in every single one of them.
Oh, right. Yeah, and I think, too, it's not really called activities, but the breakout sessions, too, if you want to, this would be a good time to have some breakout sessions where you can teach on topics like budgeting or child care or marriage enrichment or, you know, different things like that can fit in, too, and then they could maybe pick one or two active things and one serious thing and, you know, like that. And it'll be interesting because the people who have different interests, they'll just gravitate right away to the ones that are, you know, for them.
Right.
And you don't really have to worry about it too much except just, you know, juggling enough space. You can do sign-ups in advance if you have a space issue. I know, like, any time there's a sleigh ride or a hay ride or something, they definitely need people to sign up in advance so they can know, you know, just how many people they have per time.
Right.
And anything like that. As soon as that piece, the best way there, as soon as, you know, if you can fit 20 people into this class, then, or this activity, you put out a sheet with 20, and when that's done, that's full then.
Right.
And
yeah.
So it just makes it obvious. Yeah.
Right.
Great, great, great. So many wonderful ideas here. Let's move along and talk about Sunday services and communion. And one of the things I wanted to start with was that we have had women's retreats for our church that have gone over Sundays, and then we had a pastor who really didn't want us to be gone on Sundays. He said, no, I don't want you going on Sunday. You can go Friday and Saturday, but come back for Sunday. And that was hard for our retreat committee to receive because we'd always done them over the 3 days. But you know what? It worked out just fine, and we've learned from Beth Moore that that's a completely legitimate process to have if you just have 2 days, or even if you want to just do an overnight and send them home after breakfast. Whatever timing works for you, don't rule out having a retreat just because you can't do it on Sunday morning. There's all kinds of timings options available to you as a retreat planner. But let's say that you do have it over Saturday night as well, and you're there together on Sunday morning. Why don't you give us some good advice for how to handle Sunday mornings?
Sure. Sunday services for our committee, and I would just encourage any retreat planner who's listening to really set aside your Sunday service from your Friday and your Saturday services, your Saturday sessions. When you keep your Sunday morning strictly Christ-centered, you are bound to have a powerful ending to your retreat. For us, we try not to have our Sunday morning sessions not be about testimonies and not be about how to be a good Christian, but rather we try to keep our Sunday morning sessions completely focused on Christ and his sacrifice for us, and sometimes partaking in communion. We always partake in communion at our retreats. I realize that there are church women's groups that may not feel comfortable doing that depending on your denomination. So, but that doesn't mean you can't keep your Sunday services Christ-centered. We've often given our retreat speaker the Sunday morning off and come up with our own Sunday services to ensure that Sunday is set apart and centered on Christ. So many times in churches, and I think churches are beginning to come around, but so many times you can go into a church, and this is the thing I like to say a lot, is if I go into a church on Sunday, what am I going to hear? And is it going to be any different than what I might hear at maybe a Jehovah's Witness place or a Mormon place or a place that really isn't Christ-centered and really Christian? Because so many times our messages on Sunday mornings are about being better, being a better person. But when we set aside that time and focus on the work of Christ, we're bound to leave encouraged as we remember that God loved us so much that he gave his son for us. And it's a great way to end the retreat. It's also great because it gives the women who might be coming unsaved the opportunity to have that one last chance to hear the gospel in a strong and powerful way, in a very direct way, to really make a decision for Christ. The music, even on our Sunday mornings, the feel of the room when you walk in, the atmosphere on Sunday is always noticeably different than when you walk in on a Friday night or a Saturday morning or a Saturday afternoon. When women come in on a Sunday morning, they usually enter the room with an expectancy of it being reverent and quiet and worshipful. Now, that may not be for everybody. for me, the goal of Sunday mornings is really keeping it centered on Christ. You just can't go wrong when you center on the gospel. The same thing with the worship and the solos on Sunday morning. It's always really well planned and thoughtful, and you know, like I said, for us, it culminates in communion. But you know, just staying focused on Christ and what He did for us, it's really the best way to end your retreat. You know, we start our retreats in prayer, but when we wrap it up in Christ, you cannot go wrong. Now, this does not mean that Sunday morning can't follow the theme of your entire weekend. If you have creative women on your committee, they can figure out a way to tie that theme into a service that centers around Christ. Now, for instance, last year our retreat was focused, our theme was courageous faith, and it was focusing on having courageous faith as a Christian woman, the courageous faith that we would have as Christians. But so what we decided to do on Sunday morning was to focus on the courageous faith that Jesus had as He, for the joy set before Him, endured a trial and a flogging and ultimately endured the cross for us. And what we did is to tie the music in is we used Travis Cottrell's version of El Shaddai with video images that were put together from the Passion of the Christ and a beautiful presentation that reminded the women of the courage that Christ Himself displayed as He accomplished what He came here to do on earth for us. And it was a really, really powerful time. And we try to do that every single year, is not abandon our theme, but tie it in and incorporate it into being Christ-centered. And if I can go into communion, because I know we're running short here on time, we like to provide a tangible way for the women to remember what Christ did. For instance, what we've done in the past, I'll give you some examples. Before, when the women enter on a Sunday morning, we'll have women at the door handing them long-stemmed red roses. And so they sit throughout the service with their red rose. But as they come up for communion, they take communion. And after they take communion, we'll have women there who hand them a white rose and say to them, though your sins were as scarlet, they are now as white as snow. And the rose, the red and the white rose, reminds them, the red of their sin and the white, that they are now white as snow. And it's just a beautiful, a tangible way for them to tie into what Christ has done for us. We've also done paper link chains. Our committee has made these links that create chains, and we've asked the women to wrap them around their hands, and before they come up for communion, we cut them. So it's like they were bound in chains and then they're cut. And, you know, as they come up, we'll say to them, your chains are gone, you've been set free. And then, of course, you have to use the song, Amazing Grace, your chains are gone, after you say such a thing. So that incorporates your song, too, with the overall message. And these things are just, women love the tangibles. They love to be reminded in tangible ways of what Christ has done. And these sorts of things do that. Another option is handing out keys. And they can be pretty keys or your plain old keys in some sort of way. And women have a way of making anything pretty. But keys to represent that Jesus is the key to your salvation, or He holds the key to your heart. You can always tie these things in with your theme. Sometimes for us it's not a tangible thing that the women are given, but a tangible thing that they do before or after communion. For instance, before communion, women can write certain sins that they're struggling with, and they write them on disintegrable paper. They write it in red ink on this paper that disintegrates. You can buy it at specialty stores. And before they come and take communion, they drop their paper into a large, clear bowl of water. And as all the papers are added into that water, that bowl of water, the water, because of the red ink, turns red and the paper disintegrates. And it reminds us of the blood of Christ that was shed to bring forgiveness of those sins. And it's a powerful way for the women just to be active in the service on Sunday morning. When they're active and they get up and do, they're more likely to remember it later on down the road.
Those are just a bucket load of great, great ideas. I'm going to give you 1 minute to answer this question.
Okay.
If someone's never done this on a Sunday morning, let's say that they've had, 10 retreats with their gals, and they've always come in Sunday morning in jeans and just, laid back, drinking coffee, arrive when you want. It's the same as, not that it's bad, it's just how they've always done it. The same atmosphere as Saturday night, the same atmosphere as Friday night. This is a very casual retreat. And they want to this year make this change. What do you recommend that they do on Friday or Saturday differently to prepare their women for the change of tone on Sunday morning?
Okay, well, first I would just say that not to expect that change to happen the very first retreat you want to make it. It may take a year or two to have the women recognize that Sunday is going to be different. But the best way I would say to do that is the Saturday night before you dismiss the women, to remind them to come in reverently. Things are going to be different tomorrow morning. We even set our room up differently on Sunday morning so women recognize the change. And you can also have signs on the door saying, please enter quietly, or women at the door greeting them, in a quiet sort of way. And you can set the tone for them in that way. But don't be discouraged if it doesn't happen the first time you want it to happen.
Thank you. Very good advice. And for you guys that are listening, I'm interviewing today Becky Sachs. You can learn more about her over at PressOnMinistries.com. There's just a dash between those words, press-on-ministries.com, or over at womenspeakers.com. And again, Becky Sachs is the name of our guest. And this is Marnie. And over at Marnie.com, if you go to the event planner section, there's a book called Retreats Made Easy. Lots of the stuff that we've been talking about today, not everything for sure, but a lot of this is written down for you in that book. And also earlier, Becky invited you to contact her if you wanted to get a list of, was it a list of the hospitality items?
It was a list of committee responsibilities and roles.
Yes,
and just
right.
Retreat planner too. I have.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Very good. Now we have two things and we have 4 minutes, so we're going to have to fly.
Okay.
But gifts. Talk about how you use gifts to the advantage of the retreat.
We've done in the past handmade gifts for the women. You can do, they can complement the theme. We've done gifts that are little sheep that somebody actually made out of wood, and it says Jesus loves you, but the U is spelled E-W-E. We've done little decorated boxes that you can find and decorate it from a craft store that go with the theme about being God's treasured possession, or that Jesus is our treasure. You can give little small candles. You can even make small candles that go with themes about being light in a dark world, or Jesus being the light of the world. Gifts can be inexpensive, but they should always be meaningful and tie in with your theme. And if you have creative women, it shouldn't really be a problem,
And let me just ask a clarifying question for gals who've never done a retreat before with gifts. When do you give your gifts?
We give them on Sunday when everything's over. Yeah.
Okay.
Some people give them right away, but we like to do it the last thing, like a parting, kind of like a parting gift.
Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah, thank you for that. And then our last point that we wanted to get to here today, there's so much more we can talk about, but evaluation forms, and these are really important. Just give us in just a minute an overview of why we do
it. It's just good to get feedback each and every year from the women, what worked for them, what didn't work for them, what they would like to change, what things that they would like to see. Evaluation forms gives your women the chance to tell you something that you may not have ever thought of, and it could oftentimes be a great idea for you to implement in the coming year. And they just get your committee really thinking outside the box for the coming year, and kind of challenge you to improve, to constantly be improving, and looking at the things that you just may need to change or make better, or maybe even let go.
What would you say to the planner who's never used an evaluation form, but she's scared to use one? She's like, I don't want to hear the bad news. I'm okay not knowing. What would you say to her?
Don't take it personally. Everyone comes with expectations to a retreat, and their expectations may not be what you have planned for them, and that's okay. But always be open to hear what people have to say, because you can only improve with that sort of thing. And you can throw some of their suggestions out if you feel that's not where you want to go. But it's always good to hear those things. Sometimes it may be uncomfortable, but it just helps you be better in the coming years.
Yeah, well, this is Marnie, and I've just enjoyed this hour so much. Becky, thank you for being here. So appreciate your wisdom and insights.
Thank you so much for having me, Marnie. I really appreciate it.
Okay, and everybody, thank you for joining us. You can find out more about Becky over at her website, PressOnMinistries.com. There's a dash between press-on-ministries.com or over at womenspeakers.com. And I appreciate you joining us this afternoon. You have a wonderful rest of the day. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.